My worst enemies in Merrill's family were, more often than not, his other wives. They had no tolerance for a woman who did not fit the perfect little polygamist mold. A woman who does not accept her powerlessness and complete submission to her husband's will is targeted by the other wives as a troublemaker. She's treated with disdain, often verbally abused, and assigned the grunt work in the household. Even though my pregnancy was making me miserable, I was determined to finish the 2 years I needed to graduate. I was majoring in education with a minor in business and reading. I had taken the summer off from school and just managed to finish the fall quarter before giving birth. Arthur was born on December 20th, 1987, after only 6 hours of labor, which impressed the other wives. Aunt Lydia, the elderly midwife who had delivered both my mother and me, brought Arthur into the world. I fell in love with him the moment I saw him. He was a beautiful baby and gave my life a purpose it had never had before. Marriage had separated me from my younger siblings, and that had filled me with acute loneliness and longing. My roots felt like they'd been yanked out of the ground, but with Arthur, I forged a new connection to life. 3 months after Arthur's birth, I panicked when I began menstruating again. I knew my body couldn't handle a pregnancy so soon, but I also knew I didn't dare refuse sex. My world clearly centered around Arthur now, and I could tell Merrill was feeling threatened. He would cut off my money if I stopped having sex with him. Money was a prime means of control for Merrill, as it was for some men in the FLDS. Women who worked were required to turn over all their income to their husbands, as well as any money we got from welfare. Merrill had plenty of money, but that didn't mean we had enough food. Merrill gave us $500 a week to feed at least 30 people every night and more than 50 on weekends, when relatives joined us for Sunday dinner. But Merrill let his teenage daughters do the shopping. They would squander the majority of the money on other things. Merrill would be traveling many nights with Barbara, but those of us at home often would have nothing more than a bowl of soup or some beans. Complaining was out of the question. While I could tell my mother that I was hungry and not getting enough food, if I became at all critical of Merrill, she'd refuse to hear anymore and would stop listening to me. A man has the absolute right to control his house in any way he chooses. I returned to college after Arthur was born and took him with me. I had a relative there whose husband was in school, and she watched Arthur while I went to classes for that first year. I didn't want more children right away, but was too intimidated to ask any of the women at school about birth control. I felt insecure among them. When I walked into a classroom, everyone looked as though they were afraid I might sit next to them. In my long dresses, I stood out as strange, someone from a distant century, if not a different planet. No one made any effort to associate with me, and I lacked the confidence to try to connect with them. When Arthur was 7 months old, Merrill started pressuring me to get pregnant again. We were driving somewhere together, and he said that Arthur was old enough for me to have another child, and we should start trying to make that happen. I felt sickened at the thought because I was still so exhausted. But I knew most of Merrill's other wives became pregnant 3 months after giving birth. I was still nursing Arthur and weak when I conceived again in October, and I became violently ill. It felt like my body was allergic to being pregnant. My weight plummeted. I lost about 20 pounds and looked anorexic. Wives targeted each other constantly, but when I was so sick, it felt like I was in the bullseye. They attacked my character and made fun of my illness. Merrill finally realized how sick I was and, to my amazement, bought me vitamins. After a few months, I began to feel myself getting slightly stronger, but I still had massive headaches and sometimes vomited nearly every hour. Since I had not been able to find a babysitter for the whole week, and I couldn't bear being apart from Arthur for more than 3 days, on Wednesdays, I would make the one-hour drive from Cedar back to Colorado City to pick him up and bring him back to school. If I didn't have someone lined up at school to watch him, I'd bring one of Merrill's daughters back with me to help out.